It's the same person, and it's over the bridge. So one, the murderer does not know about the assault. The assault does not know about the murder.
They're looking for the same person.
But they're looking for the same guy.
They can touch each other over the border.
But literally.
Like the line where you're like, wow, I can be in two states at once or whatever.
Totally. Like my favorite Duncan is over the bridge.
They're like passing each other with the sirens on. Wee! Hey, oh my God, you too? Good luck. We'll get them.
Is your police gook broken too? Mine's broken.
To quote Lewis Potter, you're on the right track.
Yes, you're doing great. Hi, Julia Bazzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Girl, okay, what are we talking about today?
Okay, remember the series Worst Ex Ever?
Do I ever?
There's, of course, more.
Of course. Because it's unending.
Because it's the world. Yeah. Season 2, Episode 1, Dating the Deadpool Killer.
Evil is out there.
I use my charm. I use my good looks.
Evil walks among us.
I can sense your fear. I'm like, fuck mine. I'm like, you're the prey.
I thought I was going to die, 100%.
There's just a rave of that. Murder. Just kill.
I was begging her to leave him. Like, please get away from this man. He's going to kill you.
We realized that we had a really evil monster on our hands.
Quick note at the top. This guy, Wade Wilson, is the jailhouse snitch from Mr. and Mrs. Murder.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Did we know that?
I said it there. I didn't really know much about the case when we covered that. I was like, yeah, there's like this asshole guy and whatever, so.
That was Mike Rogers. Was that his name? The man that got killed so that his wife could be with his best friend?
Because that was better than divorce for some reason.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was in that. He was like the jailhouse snitch.
Was he in the documentary?
We saw the cops talking to him in some footage. The recorded, yeah.
That is crazy.
Now I'm like, oh, shit. Do I believe a word this guy says? No.
I know. No.
And also at the top, I love that Netflix is doing this right at the top. They are promoting their wantotalkaboutit.com about
yes.
If you relate to this horrible story in any way or someone you know. I love that they do it at the top.
Yeah,
top.
That's great.
Yeah.
This one gets a little gay.
You know?
Never in the fun way. It's a little fun. When we meet the gay, he's kind of fun.
Yeah, it gets kind of bi.
Yeah,
and it gets gay. And then it gets awful.
It starts awful, it ends awful.
Yeah.
We're in West Palm Beach, Florida. We meet Kelly. It's 2018. She was 26 years old. She was living in her first apartment by herself with her two dogs and her two cats.
Yeah, the dogs are, I believe, Xolos. They're these like ancient Mexican hairless dogs.
Oh my God, she loves animals.
When I was 19 years old, I started working at a zoo. And I used to train tigers, work with venomous snakes. And I wrestled alligators for 2 years.
She worked with venomous snakes.
To which I said, nope. I don't need to know anything else about snakes. I think that we've reached the my tolerance. I know that I'm in the minority here. Snakes look like pure fucking evil to me.
I know you don't like them.
We went
on I grew up with a mom who really a very, very intense phobia and trigger with snakes.
We took Daisy on a trip to the Texas Wildlife Park and she literally held a cobra.
Yeah.
And was not afraid.
Was it heavy?
Not really. And I cannot handle snakes.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't learn about the Amazon rainforest. I know we've already done this. Don't look into it. Then Kelly's like, oh, I wrestled alligators for 2 years?
Yeah.
Kelly.
We don't need to be doing that. Why are you wrestling alligators? The only time you need to wrestle an alligator is to get your baby out of its mouth.
Because it's doing the death roll.
Yeah. Like, I don't think we don't need to be wrestling them for fun. I love Kelly. I take no issue with her, but let's not do that anymore.
Yeah, well, she came to the same conclusion on her own, thank God.
She says
she, quote, gave up the dangerous stuff and then went into dog grooming.
No, listen, I gotta say, I've got a kid who dreams of being a dog groomer when she's older.
It's a tough gig.
I have such respect for these dog groomers. Katie, one of our listeners, does a mobile dog grooming business
yes.
in Colorado.
Yes, my mom takes Maisie to one.
Yeah.
Or like Walter comes to us.
What a great idea for a business.
Yes.
But it is not easy.
It's not easy at all.
These dogs don't like getting clean. They don't like it.
No, or sometimes they have their own phobias and triggers and you never know. It's like you're like, why are you taking me to this place?
I know.
That I've never been, no familiar smells, and now they're cutting my nails?
I know.
What?
Just watching Daisy try to give Golden a bath at home is its own adventure.
Yeah, no, we stopped doing that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So Kelly says, you know what? I'm a great dog groomer, not so great at dating, she says.
You know, like everybody, she says she's kind of shy. She tries the online dating thing. And the first guy she sees is this guy, Steven. He's 6'5", dimples. She says super handsome. She's like, this guy is obviously a catfish. Now, that would be my first thought, too. I see a guy that looks like this online. Handsome or not, it looks like the kind of picture that you would use as a catfish.
Sure. So she's like, no, he's real.
And I was like, holy crap, I found like the perfect man. We hit it off like right away. And at the end of the night, he asked me if he could kiss me. And I was like, what is this? This is like fairy tale stuff.
She says it was like a fairy tale from day one. And I was like, girl!
Because he like cupped her head and like asked her if he could kiss her, the usual.
Can you make all of your friends listen to TCO? Mostly because we are giving all the warnings. Like and not blaming the victim, Kelly is amazing. I love this woman. But I feel like we've covered enough of these at this point that people can see the red flags.
But then I feel bad because I don't want people to be like, was my first date really terrible? Like, I want everyone to have awesome first dates.
Let me tell you, I married a man that I moved in with after 3 days. So like, it does happen. Yeah. And Steve is legit. Steve is wonderful.
He's real. I've seen him.
Certainly he's never killed anybody that I know of.
Not yet.
We got a ways to go. So it can happen. Like, magic can be real.
Sure, of course.
But just like, right, I guess it's like her instinct was like, this guy isn't even real before she met him.
She knew it before she knew it.
100%.
In some way.
Yeah.
Because we always
do. We got to listen to our guts, everybody.
And Steve, look, this Steve is, he tells Kelly he's a personal trainer. He's adopted. These amazing people from a church adopted him and they were super rich and they gave him this like great life. He's also in touch with his biological father. They have a great relationship.
His dad's gonna be a major player in this eventually.
Sure is.
Girl, Wayfair is back.
Yeah, here's the thing about Wayfair. It's all about finding these like quality materials that you can actually live in.
So my sister just redid her patio. I was talking about this last time. And she got this amazing like patio table with an umbrella and this amazing like day bed.
Yeah.
All from Wayfair. It was so much less expensive than she thought it was going to be. She didn't think she'd be able to afford to get this new furniture for her new deck for the end of the summer.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Also, Wayfair verified. Yep. It's your shortcut to durable pieces hand vetted by product specialists. So they use a 10-point quality inspection.
Yes.
Testing things like, you know, quality of materials, functionality and features, and even how long it takes to build, so you know exactly what you're getting.
And let me tell you this, if you're a review reader like my sister is, there are more than 20 million verified 5-star reviews from real shoppers.
My favorite part is the real customer photos.
Oh, totally. Literally, I'm getting her to upload some.
Because sometimes it's like, oh, this is what the color really looks like. It's like, oh, thanks, fellow customer.
So fam, join Wayfair Rewards today to get 5% back on every purchase and start saving on your next home upgrade.
Head to Wayfair.com to shop all things home.
That's WAYFAIR.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Fam, before we get to the show, don't forget we have Patreon. So on Patreon, we have over 500 full ad-free bonus episodes. Uh-huh. We've got ad-free versions of the episodes you're listening to right now.
Yeah.
We have tiers where we do after parties. We've got a Hero Bell tier where, like, right now on this upcoming Friday, whenever you hear this, we are recording our full... We're doing 3 episodes of the Michael Jackson thing just for the Hero Bell
tier.
The
one on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we sure are. We also do like deep dives, like things Netflix left out. We did it for The Crash. We're doing it for Maternal Instinct.
Yeah,
so
that's
things
at the
like
Hero
that.
Bell tier. Jillian did all of those. They're amazing. And she's a private investigator.
I mean, I'm getting there.
You're getting there. And also follow us on YouTube. Over 600,000 YouTube followers, which is crazy.
Insane.
And our videos are really fun. And if you want to like watch our episodes, go to YouTube and do it.
And if you don't want to, no problem. You can just listen.
Yeah.
If that's what you feel like.
Exactly. So Kelly's parents like him, but even more importantly, her animals like him.
Yeah, bigger deal.
Which I totally get. Animals, like Golden will just stand at the door and growl, and I'm sure that there's a serial killer in the hallway.
Because the thing is, you can, like, convince humans or have a conversation with humans. Like, animals are all vibes.
Yeah.
And they're never wrong.
Well, I'm telling you, when I'm walking Golden on the street at 4 in the morning and somebody's coming and he just starts to growl, I cross the street. I'm like, I'm not going to die today. Golden said no.
No, we're not.
You know? We're not doing that.
I knew... This doesn't matter.
Yeah, what?
My first dog, Jesse, hated someone from my youth who ended up doing like one of the worst things to me ever. And he knew immediately.
No way.
And Jesse loved everybody. And so he was very like the growling, like wouldn't let him touch Jesse wouldn't let this guy touch him. And then he ended up being awful to me and did a horrifying, it's one of the reasons I'm a survivor.
Oh my God.
But Jesse called it. Should have listened to that little fluff ball.
Jesse.
Anyway, Kelly and Steven make it official. They're boyfriend, girlfriend.
At the time, Steven had been complaining about his roommate. I trusted him and felt something for him. So I let him move in with me pretty quickly, like within the first month. He didn't have a car. He would borrow my car a lot.
Also, this guy doesn't have a car.
He's constantly borrowing her car.
So it's like one thing to not have a car, but it's another thing to like, he's moving in and he's just like possessing all of her thing. Like he's just taking over.
And he also is like, you know, going to the park to do personal training. And I'm like, I'm sure, where is he really going?
Exactly.
But Kelly is, I mean, the love bombing must have been insane.
Yes.
You know, and now like they're entrenched and right away they're moving. And so you get really familiar really quickly.
Yeah.
And so Kelly's like, oh, I'm going to marry him.
Because it's like one of the first serious relationships she's ever had. We all feel that way in our first serious relationships. So now we meet Courtney. We're going to this is the lovely town, Loxahatchee, Florida.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed.
Now Courtney knows Stephen as Wade.
Yeah.
And they met on the apps too.
Do you think in Loxahatchee, when you go to the bagel place, you get bagels in Loxahatchee?
If you don't have, I want it to be so prevalent when someone walks in, they're like, again, you guys need a better joke. I want it to be everywhere.
But the bagel place itself should be called Bagels in Loxahatchee.
You should also be getting your water.
Yeah.
From a different state called New York. Because that's why the bagels and pizza are so good. It's the water that we have here.
Oh.
Cue all the DMs of like, you know, the water is poison. Whatever the reason is. But I know that that's part of it, where like the water is why the bagels are so good.
Can somebody send me a Bagels in Loxahatchee t-shirt? I would really like one, size small. Thank you so much.
Great. See what we can do. So yeah, she knows Stephen as Wade, which is his real name.
Yes.
And Courtney says they matched in October of 2018 while he's living with our friend Kelly.
And of course, Kelly and Courtney don't know anything about each other.
No. And this is the same thing. Love bombing times a million. It's like they've known each other forever. But their relationship is mostly online because he's living with Kelly.
Right. And she's just like, I don't know. I was busy and we were like, it was a text relationship, but I really loved him.
Okay. So back with Kelly.
Yeah.
Everything is great with Kelly and who she knows is Stephen until...
The first big red flag that I had with him was one day I came home from work and I was looking for my laptop to edit some photos. And I couldn't find it. And I looked everywhere. And Stephen admitted that he pawned my laptop because he needed money.
He steals her laptop and pawns it for cash.
They've been together for 2 months at this point. And like, he pretends, this is the thing. Like, this guy hasn't thought this crime through because he denies it for 5 seconds and then just admits to it.
He's very impulsive.
And like, once again, pawn shops to the rescue because she calls the cops, files a police report, which by the way, everybody do that. When somebody in your life like commits a crime, get that shit on paper.
Even if the cops tell you that they can't do anything unless you're if and when you're killed.
Yeah, right.
Which
of course.
You've literally heard.
Well, 100%.
Being told to me.
100%.
I still got that piece of paper.
I'm going to keep it forever.
Keep it forever.
Because, so the cops find the computer at a pawn shop. Kelly goes there to get her computer back and learns that Stephen is actually Wade because he had to use his ID at the pawn shop. So his first name is Wade. His middle name is Stephen. And of course, he's got a story as to why that is.
Well, and she's like, okay, so if your name is Wade, why... did you steal my laptop? But also, why do you have all, like, why are all of your social profiles as Stephen? Like, why do you have so many? And he's like, ugh.
Cute like crazy women.
I need an escape from all my crazy ex-girlfriends who are obsessed with me.
Yeah.
And now he's crying. He's a wreck. He's begging her. He's relentless. And Kelly's like, I broke down. Like,
she makes the point that it's such a tool of manipulation because he's this enormous, muscular, 6'5" man who's now laying in her lap and sobbing.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
It is. Like for Kelly, it's like, oh my God, like he's showing me his sensitive side. Like I'm getting in there.
Something
you know?
Something really happened.
Yes.
His history, these women.
And
this,
for a man like this to be like reduced to tears, like you know what I mean? Like it's such a move of manipulation.
But it's still like, oh no, my enemies.
Right. Of course.
It's some level of, oh no, my enemies.
You know that Kelly's gut is screaming at her like on all cylinders and she's just like pushing it away. And I'm not blaming Kelly. We all do it. But like that's definitely, this is what I'm saying. Like if we can learn anything from these documentaries, like when you just know something is bad, when somebody steals your laptop and sells it, like you got to get rid of these people.
And she thought she was going to marry this guy,
yes.
But that went out the window because her vibes were going off like crazy, saying like, oh
yeah,
it wasn't just a misunderstanding. Like she was going to marry. Like I think that's a really important thing to say. She thought she was going to marry him,
yes.
And then her laptop goes missing, and she reports him to the police because he didn't do the sob story then.
And he's not selling the laptop to go buy sneakers. Like it's all for drugs, and it takes too long for the documentary to make that point.
Yeah.
But this guy is severely, severely addicted to insane, crazy drugs.
Right. So now back with Courtney, girlfriend number two, sees Kelly, like photos of Kelly all over Wade's phone and on Instagram and commenting and whatever. And she's like, who is this?
And he told me, oh, that's just my roommate. And at that time I was just like, okay. And I believe that.
That's just my roommate. You didn't tell your girlfriend you had a woman roommate who's really pretty and is commenting all over your Instagram?
And commenting, being like, call me, love you. You know, she's in his phone as Kay.
But it's just like, oh, that's the roommate I forgot to tell you about for two months? Come on.
It's just no one's listening to their instincts.
I know. So it's December 5th, 2018. Kelly and Wade are dating for 3 months. And then Wade and Kelly's 18-year-old friend.
Who Kelly let crash on her couch because this girl needed a place to stay because she broke up with her boyfriend.
And Kelly's a nice person. And so Wade and this 18-year-old girl steal three or four puppies and then want to go
from, like, a person that Kelly knows.
Like, yeah, some breeder. Yeah. I don't love the animal treatment in this
Like, Kelly goes to work, and they go and steal the dogs, bring them home to Kelly's apartment to take pictures of them, and post them on Craigslist. Craigslist, you're letting people sell dogs on Craigslist?
We can't go into what is happening online, what people are selling, and why, and for
are
what.
Are you just, like, allowed to just sell your dog?
Yeah.
You can just sell a dog?
I mean, it's a huge scamming thing, where it's like, oh, how about this, like, puppy that people will say is a different breed and then they're not, or, you know, it's just it's a horrifying, abusive money-making
scheme. This isn't, like, monitored and licensed and all that. You can just sell dogs.
You can sell yourself on Craigslist and it's not monitored.
I guess.
You can see, you know, it's scary.
Oh, that's awful.
Anyway, Wade posts all of these dogs online. The breeder's like, hi, those are my dogs. I'm calling the cops, you dick.
And he recognizes Kelly's house. He's like, girl, I've been to your living room. I know that's you. He calls the cops. And then Kelly's at work. Wade calls Kelly.
And he says, I need you to three-way the detective and tell him that it was you. And if you don't, I'm going to kill your dogs. It was, like, totally out of left field. I was like, who are you? Like, what is happening right now?
You need to call the cops and three-way me in so I can hear the conversation and tell the cops that you stole the dogs. And if you don't do it, I'm going to kill the dogs that I'm with at your house right now.
Right. The dogs are okay because Kelly is like, I'm not risking you killing my animals. Fine, I'll take the fall.
Right.
So she takes the fall and, quote, confesses. Now, it turns out, of course, Wade has an extensive criminal record.
At this point, they start splashing up his mugshots. Right. There's, like, 12 of them.
And now Kelly is sitting in jail for 27 hours.
She's little, like, Catholic school Kelly who's like, I've never done it. It would be like me. Like, if I went to prison, I would be, like, sitting there sobbing my brains out. Like, right. I've never been in trouble in my life.
And are you even going to trust this guy to not kill your pets?
No.
Of course you're not.
Exactly.
You're thinking, like, I just need to get home. I just need to get home. So when she gets home, Wade and the friends are gone. They took everything, including Kelly's handgun, and now they're in the wind.
And this was after Kelly goes to the Ring camera and watches them, like, making out the second she went to work. Who is this friend, Kelly?
No, it was when they dropped her off at jail so she can confess for the crime they committed.
They go home and they start making out.
She's 18.
Kelly, it's okay to say former friend. We've been over this a number of times on this podcast. This girl is and Kelly's, like, saying she's only 18. She was, like, young and naive or whatever. No!
I don't know, man. I don't like this at all.
No.
So Kelly Googles him and finds out the truth, that he is, like, a legit felon. She's like, this wasn't just, like, small things from my youth. I went through a phase. This is stealing weapons, lots of weapons charges, grand theft, breaking and entering, drug charges, filing false reports. I mean, this guy's a mess.
Yeah.
But Kelly calls the cops and she's like, yeah, hi, a felon stole my handgun. Put a warrant out for his arrest, please. Thanks.
Everybody has guns. I'm like, that is really terrifying that this, like, crazy guy has, like, taken her gun and is on the road in the wind with some 18-year-old girl. Girl, Haya is back. Look, these are the kids' vitamins, and they are the ones that are not stuffed with all the sugar.
Yeah, the one, like, the old school ones used to just basically be candy.
Yes.
Not just disguised as candy.
Yeah, so Haya took the opposite approach, fam. Zero sugar, zero gummy additives, just clean nutrition. Daisy takes it. It comes with a bottle and a set of stickers. She loves to decorate it every single month. She loves her vitamins. What else can I tell ya?
I mean, actually a lot.
Yeah.
Because if bedtime battles and restless nights are a struggle in your house, a calming nightly chewable designed just for kids might be exactly what they need. Especially because the new school year is right around the corner.
We've been using this all summer. Fam, Haya's new Kids Bedtime Essentials is a total game changer. It's not a sleep aid. It's a non-habit-forming chewable with L-theanine, B6, GABA, and chamomile flower extract, plus magnesium and calcium that helps kids relax just before bed and wake up rejuvenated and refreshed. No more grumpy Daisy first thing in the morning.
Yeah, and no synthetic hormones like melatonin, no sugar, just calm support to help them recharge for everything they got going on.
So fam, you can now find Haya in person season at Target stores nationwide or order directly from their website with a special deal we've worked out just for you.
Receive 50% off your first order on any of their products. And to claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/TCO.
This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/TCO and get your kids the full body support they deserve.
Come on. So Kelly finally tracks down these two losers. They're in Texas and, you know, the cops can't do anything. Perfect. So now it's on Kelly to get their dumbasses back to Florida.
So December 30th, 2018, Wade calls her once again, probably the hot 18-year-old dumped his ass.
Of course.
And he's now sobbing. I'm so sorry. I want to come home. It's not your home. You lived there for 2 months. It's Kelly's. You want to come stay at Kelly's house. You don't want to come home.
And Kelly, with a smirk, says,
"And all I had in my head was revenge. I agreed to pay for his bus ticket, and I called the police, and I said, I have him coming back, and you guys have a warrant. So if I get him to my house, will you come get him? And they said, sure.
She calls the cops, and she's like, okay, like, he's coming, because they already have the warrant. It's a felon who stole a gun. Wade is in the car with Kelly, and he's like, hey, life update, I do crack now.
Just so you know.
And he's like aggressively and violently and manically trying to use a pen as a crack pipe in the car. He's freaking out. Kelly is now like, oh, this is a major.
But this is why, like, that's exactly what I would have imagined.
Some personal news, I do crack now.
Some personal news, like, that's why I would have been scared to go get him and be anywhere near him. This guy definitely does crack.
Right.
He still has your gun, by the way, Kelly. Unless he fucking sold it.
Yeah, the cops are, of course, not there.
Yeah.
But she gets it. She's like, hi, like, secretly on the phone, like, hi, he's here. They're like, get him to come outside. Does she have to do all of it?
I mean, I know.
And so she like push it, like, oh, what's that over there? And he's like, oh, it's more crack or whatever. And like, she gets him outside.
Is that crack? Hey, wait, can you come outside? We got some crack out here.
Oh my God. Can you go into that sewer? I think there's crack there.
Is that crack?
Is there crack in the back of that police car?
I'm going to totally. Hey guys.
Wait, why don't you go look and find it?
Why don't you go? Can you pick me up some bagels from Bagels and Loxahatchee and on your way back, get some crack?
And get some crack. And Wade's like, okay. So there are shotguns in his face. He's thrown on the ground. They dragged him into the car. And now Wade wants Kelly to bail him out. This guy is an asshole with the memory of a goldfish.
But the thing is, Kelly's like, says no, and she stays strong for 4 days.
For 4 days.
And then it's like, I understand she's been groomed. I get it. But it's like 4 days later, she's forgotten all about the crack pipe and the stolen gun and the 18-year-old best friend that he ran away with.
For 4 days.
And the stolen puppies that God only knows what happened to them. Like, Kelly.
I know. So, but she says, you know what? I got some rules here.
Yeah.
I will bail you out. But one, you can't stay with me. And two, you have to go to rehab. And Wade's like, no problem. I have a friend in the Keys, as in the Florida Keys, and I'm gonna go to rehab in the Keys.
Yeah.
No specifics, no nothing.
Cut back to Courtney. Guess what? She just moved to the Keys.
Right.
I wonder if there's any correlation here.
He was like, can I come live with you? Can I come be with you? And I was like, yeah, sure. Because I obviously wanted to be with him too. Then he told me, okay, I'll be there in a few hours.
So this is the friend that's gonna, like, the friend doesn't exist.
It's
He's
Courtney.
Like getting Kelly to take him to Courtney.
Right. And agrees to move in with him in like 5 hours.
So that's the whole thing. Courtney's like, I barely hear from him anymore. Out of the blue, he calls me because I've moved to the Keys. Can I come and live with you? She says yes. He's like, great, I'll be there in 5 hours.
Kelly is driving him 5 hours. She thinks she's meeting with this mystery friend who's going to bring him to rehab, but it's not. It's Kelly.
Yeah.
So he is acting like a fucking maniac in the car. They have a huge fight. Kelly is so fed up that she gets out of the car and she's like, take my key, like, take everything. I don't care.
Can you imagine? Like, God only knows where they were. She's so scared of this guy that she gives him her car.
But it doesn't work because he basically does everything he can to run her over, forces her back into the car. And this is where it gets very, very bad. He starts strangling her. I'm like, there's not a car. There's no one around seeing this to help her. Not a single person.
Yeah.
She's terrified. She's fighting for her life. He pulls out a gun. He is punching her. It's incredibly violent.
And this guy's enormous. Like, this guy is muscly and 6'5".
Right. And then he like forces her into the back seat of the car, but on the floor.
And he's like, he's cut her clothes off of her and used the clothes as bindings to tie her up.
And then he rapes her.
Yes.
And then he forces her back on the floor of the car, covers her with dirty laundry to like hide her.
And all the while saying, if you move, if you try to sit up, if you try to get, I'm going to stab you 30 times and throw you into a drainage ditch. Like, Kelly thinks she's going to die.
Yeah. And she's like, beaten and raped and bound and bloody. I can't imagine the absolute terror.
Yeah.
However, while she's in the back, I mean, literally shaking and cowering, who wouldn't be?
Of course.
And then he met up with somebody and sold my phone for $50. All while I'm in the back seat of the car underneath dirty laundry, bound and gagged and bleeding.
He keeps stopping to meet up with randos to sell off her shit. I would be thinking every time that door opens, it's going to happen again. Yeah. Every time, like, yes. Where is he going to leave me? Where is he going to? You're not, you know, you're like a caged animal.
Yep. She's covered by her own dirty laundry on the floorboard in the backseat.
And he is now selling her phone to some rando for $50. So now she's got nothing. So at 2 a.m., they pull up to the gas station to meet with his, quote, rehab friend, when it's girlfriend number two, Courtney.
And, like, Courtney's here to say, like, I didn't see her. He seemed normal from what I could see of her. She seemed normal. Courtney's like, I swear to God, I would not have let him get in my car if I had known what had happened.
I just want to slow down on this. Courtney's like, I didn't notice anything weird. To be clear, I know Courtney doesn't have any idea what happened or what's going on at all. She just thinks it's totally normal that her boyfriend that she hasn't heard from in 3 weeks is coming to live with her immediately.
Because the thing that we
and that's not that part's not weird.
No, what we're not talking about, and he'll say it later, like, whether we agree on this or not, I think most people in the world find this man to be very handsome. And for whatever reason, his good looks and being like a muscly man of their dreams has worked on everybody. And it's put blinders on people. Like, and he's picking women that feel lucky to be with a man like that.
That's it.
You know?
And I think he's
love bombing. He's doing it on purpose. He knows it.
100%. He's love bombing them and also reminding them of that and also making them feel like they're lucky, but also like the good kind of lucky and the bad kind of lucky.
Yeah.
Right?
Does that make sense?
So Kelly is now driving the 3 hours back home.
I was just in the Keys with my car and no phone, no nothing. And I just wanted to go home. I went like 120 the entire way.
No money, no phone, totally traumatized. She probably doesn't remember it.
No.
She says she went like 120 the whole way.
She goes right to her parents who go right to the cops.
Right. So it gets so much worse, you guys.
I watched this on a plane like 2 months ago and I forgot how fucking bad this is.
So February 19th, it's 6:35 a.m. It's 4 hours after she was just raped and terrified. Right?
And told that she was going to be stabbed to death.
Detective Louis Potter.
How do you spell it?
L-O-U-I-S-P-O-T-T-E-R.
Louis Potter.
In Florida. He is on Kelly's case. And Kelly has to describe the assault in detail. The choking, all of this stuff.
The way that he says to her, because she's saying, I was sexually assaulted. What do you mean by that?
And I understand you need the detail. Look,
But, like, there's gotta be a way to say, like, I'm so sorry to have to ask you these, like, very personal questions,
right, sure.
But we need the details.
Because Kelly says, I thought going to the cops is gonna be helpful.
Yes.
So she is, like, okay with going through the humiliation ritual that is reporting something like this.
Yes.
Because she thought there was something gonna come at the end of it.
Right, yes.
So, you know, she gives her DNA, she's telling them what happened, there's no care being taken, like, at all.
But
she's like, this is horrifying, but at the end of it, something good has to come of it. He will be caught, it's so obvious.
Yes.
So it's February 26th, 1 week after the assault, Detective Louis Potter,
P-O-T-T-E-R,
asked the piece of shit to come in for an interview. We see the conversation.
So Wade is in the interview room first. Potter walks in. From the second Potter walks in, he wants Wade to like him.
He thinks they're like grabbing beers.
Yes. And Wade can tell from the jump.
Clocked him immediately.
That Potter wants Wade to like him.
Louis Potter.
And the shit that this guy is about to say, we in 10 years have never heard anything like this.
So at first he says, Kelly is the victim and, you know, I'm working for her. But I am going to give you the option to tell me that you didn't do anything and I have to believe you. And I'm like, okay, so are you doing that thing where you're lying to him? Where, like, you're a good cop and he can trust you to get him to talk? Like, kind of unclear in the moment, right? You're like,
I also don't know what he means when he says, I have to believe you. Meaning, I have to take your word for it, or you have to tell me the truth and I have to believe that it's the
truth. That's why I was like, oh, he must be doing that thing where he's trying to get this guy to trust him or whatever, to tell the truth, because it's so undeniable what happened to her, right?
This is the worst cop in the world.
This asshole, the piece of shit rapist, is lying like crazy. Everything is fine. I've never, ever, ever caused harm to Kelly or anyone else. Detective Louis Potter,
P-O-T-T-E-R,
goes, well,
that's all I need to hear. You know that, and I know that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He said he beats me, he does this, he does that. You know, and I'm like, well, I just don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not doubting you, man. You're doing great.
I'm trying to let you know. Yeah.
No, you're doing great and you're a smart man.
That's all I need to hear. And I never believed Kelly. He literally says to this asshole, hey man, you're doing great. You're so smart. You're on the right track in life.
And he goes, I ain't putting the wrong man in jail. I'll be damned if I'm going to do that.
And he says, Kelly has an ulterior motive.
Yes.
He goes, and that sucks because she is my victim. So unfortunately, I'm forced to give her 100% of my abilities.
I just don't understand.
And like, you're not doing that though.
Because the thing is, we heard the interview that he had with Kelly. So like, it's not like Kelly came in and didn't sound credible. We heard how credible she sounded.
She also, this happened 4 hours ago. We'll see more of the photos later, but I'm going to say it now. She is bloody and bruised and beaten.
Yes.
There are marks on her wrists. They're all over her face. And are we doing a sexual assault evidence kit or we're not going to...
I don't understand where Potter is coming from. I really don't. And I even made the note, it's as though he doesn't know he's being recorded.
I can't even. I just
want to know that this man's life has been a living hell since this
documentary. I sure hope so. His name's Lewis Potter.
Like, does he have a wife? Does he have a daughter? Does he have any friends? I would love to know what life has been like for this man since this documentary.
Does he have like a conscience at all? Like,
I know.
Does he have any soul or empathy at all? And I don't think he does.
I've never seen anything like that.
And so now these two fucking trash cans are fawning all over each other, thanking each other,
man.
Broing out, making promises, talking shit about Kelly. And then
he closed the case without getting the DNA back and just said, I have no proof. And this is just like a he said, she said type of thing. There was no witnesses.
Detective Lewis Potter closes the case because there's, quote, no proof. And it's he said, she said before the DNA results are in.
My head hurts because we've been talking about this a lot on this podcast. Like, I don't understand why the cops have to literally witness the rape in order for that to be enough evidence for them to do something about it.
And for the evidence to be forthcoming, perhaps.
Right.
Before it comes back, even.
But I mean, I guess, and I'm not defending it at all, but like, Wade is not denying that they had sex. He's just saying that it was consensual.
Well, let's investigate it and let everyone else figure it out.
And also, like, the sexual assault evidence collection kit is whatever, like, you would be able to see the bruising in her genital area to show that this was not a consensual act.
And also, something happened to Kelly.
Right.
So to close the case because you want to have a beer with this asshole, what is the theory here, Potter?
Right.
Kelly did this to herself?
Right.
Like, even if it's not your boyfriend, Wade,
yeah,
you're not even going to try to figure out what happened to Kelly and who hurt her? Because it's obvious she's hurt.
No question. And it wasn't you shouldn't have to be the perfect victim, obviously.
Right.
But she came in sounding totally credible.
4 hours later, bruised and bloody. Her parents took one look at her and called the cops. And like, she's begging for help. He failed her. The system failed her. And not a single good apple came out of the fucking barrel to help her out or say, wait, you're closing the case before DNA. Like, this case was allowed to be shut before any evidence even came in.
And the way that Potter says, like, I'll be damned if I'm going to put the wrong man in jail. Nobody at this precinct would do that. Like, that sounds like part of the culture of this precinct.
Yes. Part of the culture all the way.
Girl, the absorption company's back. Look, the absorption company is singularly focused on solving the biggest problem in supplements, low absorption.
Yeah, so they have something called a WLP-1.
Yes.
And this supports weight management with ingredients clinically proven to increase natural GLP-1 by 321%.
Woo! It also supports thermogenesis, it regulates appetite and cravings, increases satiety, reduces absorption of fat and carbs. Come on!
Yeah, and like, some people don't want to do injections.
Right.
So this supplement makes it so much easier.
And look, the biggest problem with supplements, as we've been saying, is absorption. Like, why take all that stuff if you're not actually getting any of it into your system? That is where the absorption company comes in. That's what they do different.
Yeah, they do a science-first approach, which we love the science.
Talk dirty to me, absorption company.
Are you flirting with me?
So fam, whether you're looking for WLP-1, magnesium, berberine, COQ10, or dozens of other science-backed supplements, start taking supplements your body can actually absorb.
Go to absorbmore.com and enter TCO at checkout for up to 35% off your first order.
That's absorbmore.com and enter TCO at checkout for 35% off your first order.
There you go.
Just absorb it.
Just absorb it. You know? What I mean? It's so easy.
Girl, Rocket Money is back. I've been using this forever. Look, fam, you know this. Rocket Money can track subscriptions and has the ability to cancel unwanted ones within the app with a few taps, giving users an easy way to stop paying for things they don't use.
Yeah, they also have automatic transaction categorization across accounts, which is a fancy way of saying you can see everything in one place.
Yep.
You can also customize categories and you can add tags and you can really, really, really track your spending patterns.
And if you're like, if you're trying to save money, you can set budget goals, get personalized insights and regular reports, and receive real-time alerts for large transactions, upcoming bills, refunds, and low balances.
Yeah, so it's consolidating like your checking, savings, your loans, your investments, and it's all in one single dashboard so you can really see how everything is working for you or not working for you.
This is the whole thing about like all of the money stress that you have because you can't figure out how to do everything all at once. This is what Rocket Money is solving.
And everyone has like 16 logins.
Yes.
It's all in one place now.
That's right. So fam, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings.
Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Join at rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
That's rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
Get obsessed with getting those subscriptions canceled.
Right? It's enough already.
So we're back to Courtney. She's living in the Keys. She's been living at her sister's house. They get into a fight. Wade's been living with them. Courtney gets kicked out and Wade gets kicked out too. And Courtney goes to live with a friend where Wade can't join her. And so Wade says that he's going to live with a friend too.
Can I slow down on this for a second?
Yeah.
Can you help me make sense of this?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So first, Courtney believed that the girl all over Instagram was the roommate he never told you about.
Yeah.
And then you don't hear from him for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
And then he asks you to move in with you 5 hours from now. And you say yes, even though you don't have your own place and you're crashing at your sister's place.
Yeah.
And then you both get kicked out.
Yeah.
And you're not telling us any details why.
My guess is it has to do with Wade's behavior.
There are red flags that have been waving in her face from day one.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, we got bigger fish to fry.
I just want to say again, like men like this are good at this. Like he's made her feel like she's lucky to be with him.
But like you barely know him.
Well, yes. But that's the thing is that like I would imagine it's the zooming out to that is impossible.
I get it. I stopped it. I rushed it again. And when I wrote it all out, I was like, I don't see a single green flag.
Right. Yes.
And I don't understand all of these things are happening. Like, why does he have to live with you? So why is everything an emergency?
Yeah.
Like, just unmatch with him.
I know.
You barely know him and you haven't talked to him in a month.
I know. And
red
it sounds so simple.
Everywhere.
I know. Well, hey, can we get to the gay guy?
Please. So, I mean, I think we have to.
Kelly says that she learns that one of her zoo friends, which by the way, to be described as a zoo friend is my new favorite thing.
Welcome.
One of my longtime zoo friends had reached out to me and said that one of her friends was dating Wade. And then she told me that it was a guy. And I was like, wait, what?
And it's a boy.
Christopher.
I screamed when I was excited to get to gay stuff. And then I remembered where we were and what we were doing. But I was like, we're going to talk about gay stuff for a second.
I also have a lot of hard questions for Christopher.
I know.
So Christopher is here. They met when they were both working at a carnival. And I'm like, do they know that Carney language?
So
do they know Carney speak?
Can they translate the Mackenzie Sherrill language for us?
Easy as it was. I don't know. I can't do it.
It's funny because this guy, Christopher, is working the bungee jump.
The bungee jump thing?
At the carnival.
It's the bungee jump thing. That's canon. I told you about the time where I went ziplining, which could be very fun.
Yeah.
But the bit.
I will never do that.
The bit that the guys did is that they'd push you and be like, oh no, as you're flying down.
Now listen, there's a guy that I follow on TikTok it's basically the Tower of Terror ride, but it's outside.
Never.
And he straps you in and then he walks around and then he goes to his side and he's like, oh God, I forgot to do the shoulder harness. Hang on. And then hits the button.
Here's what I don't like about that.
I know.
Because
I shouldn't love it as much as I do.
I think it's so awful. And I'm only saying that because like that is like a bit people do,
yeah.
But that's a fear that so many people have. And the reason I don't like those kind of jokes is because I have like 30 seconds to feel safely exhilarated. And then it takes all the fun out of it.
I know.
Like you're an asshole. And I bet what I bet their favorite day of the year is April 1st.
People. Because it's like, isn't that the bungee jump one that was also on TikTok where it's like, oh, I forgot to attach it, and then
people do that on rides all the time. I just don't think it's funny because sometimes it really happens. It just fucking happened in Brazil.
I know.
I have no sense of humor about it.
I know. We might need to take five. Are we okay?
Let's move on. We have so much other shitty fish to fry.
So Christopher's the gay guy running the bungee jump and he sees the hot pizza stand guy, who is this piece of shit, Wade.
And they exchange numbers.
I met Wade on like a Tuesday or Wednesday, and then like maybe that following Sunday night, Wade moved into my RV. Wade said that he was straight when I met him, but I was like, it just seems a little sketchy. Like, if you're straight, you don't move into a guy's house with a guy and then want to sleep in his bed.
He's like, well, you can sleep on the couch. He's like, I don't want to sleep on the couch. I want to sleep with you. Then they're doing it, and then they're Facebook official. And I'm like, is Wade, no question that Wade is just a complete sociopath. Like, this man has no conscience, no emotions, whatever. Is he just doing the gay stuff to, like, con another person and have a place to live? Is he bisexual? I know it doesn't matter. I know we'll never get any answers on this. But I'm like, this was an out-of-left-field gay thing for me.
I think he's like, oh, God, I hope this doesn't... I'm just going to say it. I think he's, like, pan for vulnerable people.
Uh-huh.
Like, it doesn't matter to him who you are. As long as he can get something from you, he'll do what it takes, is what it feels like.
Because, like, the carnival ends, and they go in Christopher's RV to, like, live in his mother's driveway.
And, like, again, no one's, like, living on their own. It's all the same pattern.
But the first night, it's going so well, and, like, Christopher and his mother's friends go out to the bars, and they're so happy because they think Wade is so cute. Like, it starts out every time as this, like, really cute love
story. And it's also Christopher's first serious male relationship.
Yeah.
Serious.
I know.
Like, they, literally, that day, he moves in. So then, they have sex the first time a week later. Everyone is, like, loving this Wade guy. And then Wade...
One night, Wade is just like, oh, we should get some drugs and, like, have fun. We just chill at the house. And, like, and I was like, okay, cool. I'll call up this dude that I used to know.
Christopher doesn't know what they took. Maybe bath salts, he wonders?
I don't really know about that. I feel like Wade just got them the crazy psychotic drugs that he's been doing this entire time.
Because Wade is instantly flipping out and threatening Christopher with a knife.
Like, goes completely insane. And, like, Christopher wakes up to the knife to the neck.
I just want to say, I'm not judging. And I think Christopher might be trying to save himself here.
Yeah.
But if you don't know what you're taking, can you please not do that?
No, I couldn't
agree more. Can you please, like, know what drugs you're doing before you consume them? I feel like that is just common sense. Please,
yes,
like,
yes.
No judgment. Do it safely, whatever.
No. I absolutely agree.
Popping something that you don't know what it is just not a good idea.
It's not a good idea. Christopher, thank you for sharing your story.
So now, Christopher, there's a full-on fucking fight. Wade is freaking out.
I want to remind everybody, Wade is 6'5". And, like,
Christopher is not.
300 pounds of muscle. Christopher is a twink. And, like, he's literally picking Christopher up, throwing him through mirrors in their little RV.
Cutting his chest, cutting his hand.
With the knife. He's battered and bloodied. Wade takes off. Christopher goes and sleeps under the table. This is gay chaos.
Well, Christopher tries to throw him into the glass window of the RV. It's like the RV from the outside is, like, walking back and forth.
Totally.
Like in Dick Tracy, where you see Dick Tracy beat the guy who's being mean to kid.
They're playing Kylie Minogue way too loud.
Like, they have the Breathless album on.
Oh,
and
my God.
So, but Wade runs out of the house. Christopher does not call the cops. He takes an Advil PM and sleeps under his own kitchen table.
Christopher says, unless somebody dies, there's no reason to call the cops. Christopher, what life of hard knocks did you grow up with, girl?
I understand not wanting to call them and get involved. We just saw what happened to Kelly. I totally get it. I don't know what else they could find
this
in this trailer.
This guy could come back and kill you, though.
Right. And this is where, like, okay. So the next day, Wade is back begging for forgiveness.
I wake up, like, the next day to my sister, like, banging on my door. Wade had ended up getting a hold of my sister. My sister calmed the situation down, and, like, he showed back up with blood all over him and apologized. He seemed sincere.
Brought back by Christopher's sister.
Right.
If my sister's girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, showed up and was like, can you please take me back to... I know that I threw him through a mirror and beat him almost to death and cut him up with a knife last night.
But I've only known all of you for 7 days.
Yeah, but here I am with 6 bagels and Loxahatchee.
And so Christopher's like, I know. Where's the water from?
Let's go get some bagels and Loxahatchee and like go back to Christopher's house and like make up.
And that's exactly what happens. And Christopher's like, okay, but like you can't even have cigarettes here. No drinking, no drugs. Christopher, you don't know this person. You met him a week ago and then he tried to kill you. Like, what is the appeal here?
It's also sweet of you, sweet Twinkie Christopher, to think that you're going to lay down the law. That's not how it works with people like this.
So then a month later, Chris and Wade move to Key West and Wade is telling everyone that they're kissing cousins and they're not, he's not really gay and whatever. And Christopher breaks up with Wade and throws him out of the RV because Christopher doesn't want to be in a relationship where he has to hide who he is. Can I say something?
Sure.
It sucks when that happens.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks when someone is lying about who they are or what the relationship is. I totally get it. This is another one of those times, dear listeners, where, like, context matters.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know what Chris was fine with?
The drugs.
Almost getting murdered by the pizza stand guy after 6 days of knowing him.
I know.
That is forgivable, but this is not. So context is a big factor.
I didn't want to get too much into this, but there is something about it in gay culture of like being, and I'm sure maybe this transcends all dating cultures, but the idea of being picked by the hot straight pizza guy, I think for some people, and probably maybe even my younger self, there's almost anything is forgivable.
But the line is, I can't brag about it.
Uh-huh.
If the line is, if you're going to keep us a secret and I can't show you off, then I don't want it.
Yeah.
Because.
Yes. Because
Christopher was almost killed by this person.
I know.
And if it happens once, it's going to happen again.
No. And Christopher got out by the skin of his teeth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Chris, any one of these people could have gotten killed. But I'm just saying, like, I understand a little bit of the mindset of like first gay relationship, grew up in the South where things were probably not like this is like the dream boy, you know, and. I'm not like you are. The point you are making is 100% correct, and we need to do better. We need to raise our kids better.
I was going
to
say, dream bigger, everybody.
I know.
What is the appeal of this manic, scary, horrifying person who, in my humble opinion, has got nothing going on attractive wise? Well, I don't find him attractive at all.
My answer is just, and I know you hate this and I know you don't agree, but the answer is that he's hot.
Yes.
And he's picking people to whom that is like monumentally important.
And showing the red flags immediately.
And they don't care, you know? And it's funny now that we're talking about
it. It hurts my heart.
I know. But now that we're talking about a gay guy, I can imagine a world in which my younger self could have been a victim like this.
That makes me sad.
I know.
You know? I just want better for everybody.
I know.
These people, like,
not all of us are made steel, GP.
I'm not made of steel. I'm a big sap.
In a good way, I mean. Yeah. Like you were just an intensely, incredibly good judge of character.
I have discernment, I guess.
It's true.
I see the patterns. I would be like, Kelly, girl, don't date him.
I'm like, I get to boink the hot straight pizza guy?
I know, but then I wouldn't have any friends.
He only hit me once, Jillian.
They'd be mad at me for telling them not to date the
guy.
I know.
You're a Cassandra. It's just the way it is. Girl, Stamps.com is back. This is all about making the mailing of all the things that we all need to mail as easy as possible.
It's on your terms, too, exactly. By the way. How you want, when you want, from wherever you are, Stamps.com has your back.
Imagine being able to mail your packages, mail your bills, mail all of the things you have to for your small business with no lines, no trips, no waiting. Instead of having to leave your desk to send something, you can get everything done in minutes and even schedule free pickups so carriers come right to you. We do that with all of our Patreon mailings.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can print postage and shipping labels from your computer or your phone. Use it 24/7 with up to 90% off UPS, USPS, FedEx, and more. That's crazy.
We have been using this forever at TCO Fam. We love it. So if mailing is taking more time and more money than it should, try stamps.com for free for 4 weeks and get a welcome kit.
Welcome kit?
Yes.
Go to stamps.com/TCO to get this offer today.
That's stamps.com/TCO.
Stamps.com/TCO. Taxes and fees apply. Anyway, Kelly, our survivor from earlier, somehow finds Christopher.
I love that everybody just accepts Christopher. Like, all of the people who have dated Wade that are all coming together now don't care that, like, one of the exes that is now in the group chat is a guy.
Well, a survivor is a survivor.
No, I know, but, like, it could have been different.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, thank God for Kelly across the board. Like,
yes.
So we don't know how they find each other, but they're, like, sharing war stories about Wade together.
Yes.
And, like, Kelly is, like, now on a mission. Like, these amazing women, like, don't date Brandon. These women that, like, Swindler that we've heard about, where, like, she is on a mission now. She wants to find more people who know Wade, and she starts sharing her story on TikTok. And this is where we really see her injuries from the night where the cops didn't believe her.
Yes.
And it is so horrifying.
It's horrifying.
And to know that the cops did nothing and that this cop, not a single bad apple, jumped out of the fucking barrel to help her.
It's
is wild when you see her fat. I mean, so who did, Kelly did this to herself for fun? Who did it to her then?
He's like, this cop just didn't care.
To close, yeah, to close the case.
He
to
just
not
didn't
just
care.
Go and let him go. Hey, you want a beer?
Yeah.
And like be Wade's boyfriend.
Yeah.
In any sense of the term.
Well, hey, apparently it's on the table.
Right? So I don't get it. So now Wade's biological father, her TikTok reaches this piece of shit's dad.
Wade's biological father reached out to me. I had no idea who he was. He told me, don't go back to him. He's done this before.
He's done this before. Please stay away from him.
But remember, son. This guy didn't raise Wade and has only been in contact with him in the last couple of years.
So that was the truth.
Yeah.
There's always a little bit of truth.
Yeah.
So June 30th, 2019, Wade is now abusing a woman named Mila. Mila's friend reaches out to Kelly. This is Don't Date Brandon all over again.
Yes, they're strangers on the internet, but they're finding each other.
And they're all finding each other. And then the person's friend is finding Kelly and be like, oh, thank God. Like, maybe you can talk some sense into my friend because she won't listen to me.
And it's wild because Mila and Kelly connect. And Mila's like, he has definitely been beating me from the beginning, but I love him and I want to make it work.
Her friend says, I saw her a little bit ago. She has two black eyes and her whole back and chest are black. I mean, he is beating the shit out of this woman.
Yes.
So Kelly is now talking to Mila, begging her to leave Wade. She's like, he's going to kill you. He will kill you. The story about Christopher, blah, blah, blah. So 3 months later, there's a 911 call.
Yeah, it's October 7th, 2019. It's 9:12 a.m. We're in Fort Myers, Florida. And there's a bunch of 911 calls to the point where the dispatcher's like, girl, we know.
Because
like, cops en route.
It's a bright, sunny day at 9:12 a.m. And Wade is abusing Mila in a parking lot in front of like 10 people.
He's punching her in the face.
I mean, we always say this. What is he doing when people aren't looking?
I know.
And we've heard it. Kelly's told us.
So he leaves Mila in the parking lot, takes off in her car. The cops track him down. Now, we see the body cam footage. It's 11:17 that same morning. The cop is trying to get Wade out of the car. And Wade, you can tell he thinks he's going to get this cop on his side. Mm-hmm. They know about Mila. You need to get out of the car. I'm going to detain you for now. Wade cannot believe that he cannot get this cop to leave him alone.
Let me see the keys to the car. Wade, I need a couple more units. Don't go anywhere. Hey.
Alpha 88, camera out in the area.
Taking off Fort Myers. Just ran a stop sign.
Wade guns it. He just takes off.
And then the cops give up after 2, 3, 5 minutes, 5 whole minutes, because it's only, this is the quote, it's only a misdemeanor battery charge, and chasing someone for that is not something any agency would do. Then what is the point of you then?
I know. They're saying that like a high-speed car chase would put the public in danger or whatever.
But this woman is bruised.
Yeah.
And she tells them that he just got out of jail. Can you run and see what his record is? Because you can tell he's manic and impulsive and he's driving away from you.
Because even if you're not going to do the high-speed car chase, there's more you can do here.
Because if you just say, well, I'm not doing it, and you give up because it's just a misdemeanor, then what is the point of you? You are useless to me.
It is so wild to me how desensitized these cops have come to this like brutalization of survivors.
It's
not shocking to them, you know? Like, see, because we see the body cam footage of Mila. She is a fucking wreck. Her face is black and blue, and it means nothing to the cops.
And like, I'm sorry to just keep mentioning it. I don't mean to be like obtuse about it. I'm just saying, we see it all the time where cops are like, anything to be home at 5 a.m., anything to cry, it's not our jurisdiction. I've lived it.
Yeah.
Where you walk in and you have, well, no, that's not us, or oh, I'm just on my break, or oh, and we see it happening all the time, and this feels like an extension of that.
Yeah, yes.
And look them up.
It's one after the other.
Use the police Google. I know you got a special one.
I know.
You have the special one. Use it.
We don't get to have the plan. You got the police Google in your car. You have to go back to the office.
Or you know what you could do? Use that radio.
Yeah.
10-4.
It works.
Like, what is
Turn
the point
it
of
I know.
What is the point of you?
I know. So we learn, now it's 12:15, same day, Wade has driven to a place called Mateo's Graphics, where a friend of a friend is working. We hear this friend of a friend's 911 call.
I have a very unstable man that's at my office. He said he just heard a girl. He's just a cordial friend of a friend associate. He's just did something bad, I guess, and is running from somebody, but I need to get him out of my place.
And he's like, girl, there's this crazy guy that knows my friend that's in my store. He's bloody, doesn't have a shirt, and he won't leave, and I got to get out of here.
And now we have one of the biggest wrenches thrown in here, which we also see all the time. We have a jurisdiction issue.
Right.
So people are calling 911 about this insane person on the run with no shirt on, terrorizing everyone. But the different departments aren't putting anything together because no one is sharing information. Mm-hmm. No one said, like, the cop, okay, it's a misdemeanor charge. You're not going to chase him. Could you put an APB out?
I know.
Could you pick up the phone? But no one, and it's only an hour. So right. He's not like in Canada.
Right.
He's just around. Just put the word out.
And it's like, the guy looks insane. Like, he's got his shirt off, bloody all over his body. He just beat up his girlfriend. Yeah, this is not a run of the mill. We should be trying to find this
guy. And it's different cops in different agencies, different levels, doing the same, throwing their hands up. It's 502, girl. I got to get out of here.
So Wade left his car in the parking lot of Mateo's Copying Center, whatever sure. It's called. Mateo's King.
Good job, Mateo. Five stars on Yelp.
The cops run the plates on the car. They find that it's registered to a woman named Christine Melton. They're trying to find her. They can't find her. They call her emergency contact, a woman named Stephanie Johnson. And Stephanie tells them the night before, she and Christine met Wade at a bar called The Buddha. 2 a.m., Christine, Stephanie, and Wade go back to Christine's house. Stephanie can only stay for a few minutes because she's got to get her kid up for school the next day, and she leaves. The cops go to Christine Melton's house.
When officers went inside, they had located Christine Melton, wrapped up in some blankets and a carpet. Christine Melton was choked to death.
Wrapped up in a carpet, and she'd been choked to death.
So
this guy that they didn't feel like was worth, like, doing the high-speed chase or getting on the police goo or tracking down in any way has this car of a now-dead woman.
Right. Could you maybe, like, get his license plate and run that or something? Right. Can we figure something out? Clearly, something is wrong here. But for you to be like, it's just a misdemeanor, is really unconscionable to me.
I agree. I totally agree.
So Christine's murder is one jurisdiction.
Yes.
Mila's assault is in another. And they're right over the border. And no one is like, hey, I have this crazy thing. Is there, like, does anyone? Like, I just thought that was, like, protocol.
Yeah.
I guess it's not. I guess I'm not.
It's the same person, right, and it's over the bridge. So one, the murder does not know about the assault. The assault does not know about the murder.
They're looking for the same person.
But they're
no
looking
idea.
For the same guy.
They can touch each other over the border.
But literally.
Like the line where you're like, wow, I can be in two states at once or whatever.
Totally. Like my that. Favorite Duncan is over the bridge.
They're, like, passing each other with the sirens on. Wee! Hey, oh my God, you too? Good luck. We'll get them.
Is your police gook broken too? Mine's broken.
To quote Lewis Potter, you're on the right track.
Yes, you're doing great.
Fuck Lewis Potter. So they finally all get in touch, and now they're going to be focused on this one thing. This asshole is on the run for 6 hours, and we see the police interview with Mila.
Yeah.
First of all, Mila says that she's having trouble speaking because this asshole punched her in the mouth about 4 hours ago, but she's doing great.
Also, she's been with him for 6 months, but 3.5 months of that, he's been in prison for assaulting her.
Right.
So it's just like, once again, like it's not their fault. I totally understand. I'm not blaming the victim, but, like, not a green flag in sight.
And
there was a pride flag in sight for just a minute.
For just a second.
Just a second, not a green flag in sight.
No, and then they had to ruin that too.
It's like, we can't have any good gay stuff.
But this is a connection here too. Like, even Mila's putting it together before the stupid cops are, because she goes, he beat me up, so I put him in jail. And then he had this charge on him in West Palm. That's Kelly from the beginning. That's Kelly's stolen laptop.
Exactly.
So all of this is happening so close together and nobody's talking about it.
No. So they've got to now figure out what happened to Christine. So the dead woman. So Mila is telling them, last night, 11 o'clock, me and Wade go to the Buddha.
We just hang with friends and stuff like that. And then that's when he wanted to go get drugs at the drug house or something. I said, no, I don't want to go to a drug house, you know? I guess he knew that I wasn't going to do that. He took the keys. And then I see the Hellcat drive off.
He, like, grabs a bunch of people from the bar to go off to this drug house, never comes back. Mila somehow gets home because he's taken her car.
And he needs someone to drive him because he can't drive stick.
He can't drive stick.
I can't either.
No.
So, can you?
Absolutely not.
What?
I don't
know. So you don't
it.
Know how to do it.
I
don't know. Yeah, I'm like, what is the...
I really
I know when you play Cruisin' USA, they tell you to do that. But even when I'm in an arcade, which I just was 2 days ago, I still do automatic.
My friend in high school tried to teach me how to drive stick. I gave up after 5 seconds. We were at the beach parking lot. Hey, Corey Schneibel. I rolled into a trash can. Yeah. He's like, can you get out of my car? I'm like, I will gladly get out of your car.
Thought you never asked.
I thought you'd never ask.
Is it
hard?
I had
the biggest crush on Corey Schneibel. He was so cute.
He'd be like, can you, like, put your hand on my hand and show me how to do this the
curly
stick
blonde
shift.
Hair. He was like a track star.
You're writing. I love how you routinely now in these last few weeks are like writing your own fan fiction.
I know
about this life where you're like, I put my hand on his.
He, oh my god.
The stick shift, and then I moved my hand to another stick shift.
The thing is, he so knew that I had a crush on him, too. And we were very good friends. We were very good friends.
You love a new kid.
I do love, yeah.
You love the new kid.
He knew I had a crush on him. I saw him just a couple years ago. He's still so cute.
What happened after you almost destroyed his car?
He was like,
I mean, you just like kissed the trash can.
I did, you know, but the trash can did get knocked over.
That to me is one of the funniest things. If I see it in a movie where it's like a car, like an accident or whatever, where no one gets hurt, but they like drive into the trash can.
Slowly.
Or they drive in. There's a great one in Mad Men where Henry wants to hurt Don in some way. So he's in the car in the garage, like at the house in Ossining. And he like, it says like a bunch of boxes, like Don's things, Don, whatever. And he sits there and he gets all mad and he just gently like revs the car forward and it hits the boxes. And they don't even go over. They just like crease a little and then he drives. Like things like that I think know. Are so funny.
The thing about the stick shift though is that you've got like the gas, the brake, and then the clutch.
Yeah.
So it's like you're riding a fucking bike and you like, you don't know what.
To do stick shift, you need the clutch.
You need the clutch, apparently. Corey, what do?
Is that where coming through in the clutch comes from?
See, this, I don't know.
I'm asking a lot of questions.
I know.
See, at least we're asking questions.
Truly.
These cops are not.
They're not.
So Mila says, I don't know who was with him. It was like a car full of people. And Mila says outright, look, everyone was warning me about him. I would have died if I got in that car last night. Because here's what's important. This all happened the same night that Wade met Kristen Melton.
Yes.
So this is all happening at once.
And by the way, when Mila goes to get her car back the next morning, he's not in her car. He's in Christine Melton's car.
So Wade, Mila, and Christine were all at the same bar last night.
Yes.
And we can make the assumption Wade left Mila with Christine and strangled her and killed her.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
What happened.
Exactly. So the cops now search Christine's car. They find two cell phones. They need a warrant to get into the phones. They've got to wait. So put a pin in that in just a second. Because the cops now get a call about a purse that they found on the sidewalk in front of an elementary school. So it's a found purse and a possible missing woman. And it belongs to a woman named Diane Ruiz. And she happens to live just behind the school.
The officer went to return the purse. And when he got to the home, he learned that Diane Ruiz was not there. Her son told our school resource officer that my mom is supposed to be at work.
And she was just like walking to work. She never made it to work. The school calls the fiance calls, and he's like, her purse was there, but she's not there. And her phone is missing and it's off.
And so like the cops are now wondering, like, is it possible like the Christine Melton and Diane Ruiz, could they be related? But they don't see any connections between the two of them. I'm like, you guys, you've got a madman on the loose.
Right.
Like at some point, I think you got to stop looking for connections between the victims and realize it's random because you have a madman on the loose.
Right.
At what point do we set up the madman signal of like, just find the guy?
I'll tell you exactly when. Lewis Potter.
Yeah.
He should have listened to Kelly. He had a duty and an obligation
and
to listen
Kelly's
to her.
Kelly's going
to
say that in the end. And Kelly was just full of evidence of the reality of what a brutal murderer this guy was.
He has blood on his hands.
No question.
That whole department.
Yeah.
So now this piece of shit has been on the run for 9 hours. Who calls the cops? His own father.
Yes.
His own dad
is pretty awesome in this thing.
I mean, we're seeing in real time what it's like to be honest about who your kid is.
Yes.
I mean, it's wild.
Well, because the dad's got a story. Because the dad has an address of where Wade is. He knows that Wade is on the lam. He's got the address. He calls the cops. Because Wade called his dad and said, and I quote, I killed a bitch. Two, actually, with my bare hands, Dad, I'm a killer. And he's saying, I need to get out of here. Help me get out of here. And the dad's like,
the dad put out a ruse to indicate that, yeah, he would get him an Uber, but he needed to know what the address was, where he was located. So at that point in time, the father let Cape Coral Police Department know where Wade Wilson was.
This was a ruse to get an address of where he is so he could tell the cops.
This idiot walked right into it.
Like, the dad is doing good work here.
And the dad's like, when he confessed this horrible thing to me, he was laughing. He thought it was funny. He wasn't like, Dad, I need your help, really.
Yes.
He was like, Dad, listen to this awesome thing I did. And guess what? I'm going to do it again.
Right.
So he's arrested, and out comes the siren song of shitty men everywhere. I'm a nice guy.
Can I tell you, this video of him getting arrested is so wild because we see the body cam footage.
Yeah.
And he's in cuffs, and the cop is saying, like, hey, I'm a nice nice guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to loosen these cuffs for you a little bit, but if you do anything crazy, I'm going to slam you on your face. Wait, fuck you, bitch. No, fuck you, bitch. Yeah. No, fuck you, bitch. The cop and Wade are now screaming fuck you, bitch, at each other.
And at first, the cop's like, face the fucking car, man. Spread your fucking feet. Like, he's done
but
over it.
Why is everybody trying to be nice to him? Like, why is this cop, like, loosening the cuffs? This guy killed two fucking people.
Now we see his first police interview.
Yeah.
Wherein this piece of shit says, suck my dick, cracker. Sir.
These are not words I expected to come out of your mouth today.
Sir, who do you think you are?
The charm offensive is over.
Do you not think that you are also a cracker? You're white.
Can I ask
He's officially white. I looked up the court documents for this purpose. He's listed as white in the system.
What's a cracker?
It's like a shitty white person.
Okay, that's what that means.
It's like a cracker.
Okay. What's cracker?
It's like it's not like Rhode Island. Do you know about the Housewives of Rhode Island?
No.
Alicia, she loves a cracker.
No.
She loves eating crackers with hummus. She's coming out with her own cracker line.
Stop
she
it.
Loves crackers. Not that kind of cracker.
Cheese and crackers.
She always has a cracker. She loves a cracker. She also hit a woman with a car when so she doesn't really drive. And everyone's like, more about that, Alicia.
Oh my God.
What happened with the woman?
She was trying to learn stick and she rolled into the lady.
And the producer behind the camera's like, what happened? She goes, I ran a lady over with my car. Like, just like that. Alicia's like, thank you, Alicia.
I ran a lady over with my
car. But it's not that kind. It's not Alicia Cracker.
Uh-huh. No.
It's like, but like, wait, like, you're a white person. Do you think you're also a cracker?
He's just out of his mind. You know, so like the next morning, they get Diane Ruiz's cell records and they can see that Diane Ruiz's cell phone was calling Mila, the killer's girlfriend. This is how they connect the cases because they know now that very likely the killer kidnapped Diane Ruiz, murdered her, and then used her cell phone to call his girlfriend.
And it was probably because he's so sick that he was so high after killing Christine. And he wanted to do it again.
He needed. He said that to his dad.
Yeah. So he like finds poor Diane, who's just walking to work, and like pulls over and kills her.
Yes. And then they get the GPS for Christine's car. So they know that he's got Diane Ruiz in Christine's car. So they see from her GPS that he was driving around this like heavily wooded area, quote, where you could easily hide a body.
So his dad visits him in prison.
This is some of the most riveting, like we see the actual video footage of this prison visit and it is riveting.
The dad is beside himself.
Yes.
And he says, it's interesting because he's beside himself, but he's not manic.
Yes.
He's trying to be so controlled and he says,
I love you more than anything on this fucking earth. And I'm going to be honest with you, son. You broke my heart. And the pain that you have caused, son, I can't even describe to you. It's something that'll never be forgotten.
I will never forget it. And he says, you know what could fix it? You got to tell everyone where Diane Ruiz is. She has a kid. Yep. She has a fiance. People love her.
Her son is waiting for her to come home. They don't even know she's dead yet.
And he's like, please show remorse. Please. Like, for her, she has to go home to her family.
And it's wild because it's the only time we see Wade. Like, Wade is in absolute awe of his father.
He's loving that he's caused so much pain.
Yes. And also that. But you can see that, like, he just wants attention from his dad. I'm not saying that this is what all the crimes are about, but he, like, the fact that his dad is there, he's listening to him.
See, I saw it as hanging on his every word because, like, oh my God, the ripple effect of the pain.
Well, because he also asks, has it made the media? Has it hit the news?
He interjects, and that's the only thing he says. Not dad, you're right.
I know.
Not dad, I'm sick. Not dad, oh my God, I can't believe this. It overcame me. It was the drug. None of that.
No.
It's Mackenzie Shirilla, am I on the news?
And he's also delighted to be able to finally say out loud how badly he wanted to kill, how badly he wanted to go on a rampage. He's telling his dad, I get on drugs. All I can think about is kill, kill, kill.
The dad's like, you've lost your goddamn mind.
If you ever had one. Like, this guy is one of those, in my opinion, born monsters. The drugs absolutely did not help.
Sure.
But this guy was born to kill.
He's a predator. He hunts and preys on women.
Yes.
So the dad's like, this is why I turned you in. Because
right.
You're fucking out of your mind and you're a monster. And I knew you would do it again and cause more damage. Like, I had, when you confessed, I had no other option.
Yes, exactly.
So the killer's like, oh, 100%. I was absolutely going to do more.
So the cops find Diane Ruiz's body literally by following the buzzards.
The cops are on their lunch break. They look up and they see buzzards and they find Diane. Now, the only like good news about this is that they don't need the killer for shit anymore.
Right, because the killer wants to trade the location of Diane's body for burgers and fries.
Why is it always fast food with these people?
I don't know.
What is it?
Like, I know.
Ask for something you can never get
Get a bottle of great bourbon,
you know what?
No, you can't.
I don't want you to have anything.
For me.
I don't want you to have anything.
I know. Yeah.
But like, I don't want you to have anything ever.
Now is when he starts describing to the cops how he's able to get these women to trust him. He's, I use my charm. I use my good looks. It works every time.
Yeah. And like, he just goes out. He lays it on really thick. So many of these people just met him.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, they learn through DNA that he sexually assaulted Diana Ruiz after he killed her.
Right. Someone needs to beat him to death.
Yeah.
That's my sentencing.
She's asking nicely. She's not being demanding. She's just speaking the truth.
I think someone should beat him to death. I look forward to the day where we hear the breaking news that he was someone finally did it in prison.
God, this job has done a number on us, girl.
I can't wait. I don't know why.
What's taking so long?
Yeah. Like, so, I want him beaten so badly. Oh, my God. It would be great.
Yes.
You know, people can witness, like, the death sentence, which, you know, I don't believe in the death penalty. But this is different than the death penalty.
This
you know
is
what not, I mean?
Yeah, you're asking for a favor
this
here.
Is someone doing the good work in there.
Right.
I know you could do it.
I know.
It happens all the time.
I know. But the thing is, he's probably charmed the literal pants off of everybody in prison.
There's got to be someone in there.
There's got to be that one guy.
Do some good.
Do some good.
I ask with a giddy smile because I'm fucking crazy.
I mean, this is where we get 15 minutes of like the media around the case because the case now goes to trial and it's like the insanity of these like hundreds and then becomes thousands of women sending him money, starting GoFundMes for him.
They're fans. Also, everyone is enamored because Wade Wilson is the name of the real name of Deadpool is a comic book character played by Ryan Reynolds.
That was why I was like, what's Deadpool got? It was when we got to that part that I was like, oh, okay, I guess that makes sense.
Like these legit fans, phone sex, hi baby, all of this stuff, sending him money.
They all also think they're the only one.
How?
I know.
These women are desperate
idiots. I know.
And they also don't care about, by the way.
During the time period up to the trial, Wade Wilson is changing his appearance while he's in jail, including adding tattoos on his face and head, such as a swastika. This grabs media attention, of course, and it just caused a media sensation.
Huge swastika on the side of his head. He's doing like the skeleton grin. What is
like,
he doing?
I don't want to talk about him and these fuck ass women anymore.
No, but I wanted to talk about them for a minute because there was a couple of men too. I'm not going to just put this all on women.
There are definitely some men doing this. Who like want to, it's so disgusting and vile to me. And there's a whole other documentary that I wasn't even going to mention on Paramount Plus called like The Handsome Charmer, whatever.
What?
Mostly about the women.
Oh.
Who are like, oh, I fell in love with him when he was arrested. And I'm like, we're not doing this.
What
we're
is not, wrong with these people?
We need to focus on the women,
you know,
he hurt.
My
and
thing
the
is,
people.
I don't want to give them a platform and make them look
no,
credible.
No, I'm saying that's why we didn't do the other one.
But that's what I'm saying is, I would like a documentary about what is wrong with people like
the
that?
The psychology of it. I don't want to see like the empty chair and this woman sit down and being like, I sent him $5,000. I mortgaged my house. I this, I that. After the fact. And I was looking at him at that swastika and I was all hot. I don't think so.
Crazy.
So he's just so fucking smug. So now we're at the trial. Steve, the dad, is the star witness.
Can I just say, this was so disturbing to me. We find out that Steve discovered that he and his partner were pregnant with Wade when he was, quote, 14 or 15 and she was a year younger. This girl was either pregnant with him when she was 13 or 14 years old.
And the dad was just, what, a year older? I mean, they were children.
It is... How does that happen? How?
It happens.
I'm not shaming anybody. It blew my mind to hear those numbers.
So, you know, Christine's best friend, Samantha, testifies, and Diane's fiance, Scott, testifies. They're so tearful. It's so heartbreaking. And, you know, it all ends with this asshole being guilty.
There are certain people who, I'll say it, they are poster children for the death penalty. And Wade Wilson is one of them. So our goal from the minute we knew what he had done to these two women was to receive a death penalty sentence.
Yeah, he gets sentenced to two death penalties.
Someone's like, he's the poster child for the death penalty.
Yes.
And I'm like, or someone can have a little fun and get some aggression out and beat him to death.
This is
am
wild.
Am I wrong?
No, am I wrong? No, I... It's a shocking thing to hear you say.
I know.
And
I'm just like sick and tired of it.
I know.
Yeah, I'm sick and tired of the whole thing and the whole system.
You know,
and
me.
I'm going to take it out on him today.
So
I
don't disagree. I just like my whole thing is like the whole organized society. We can't go around shooting and killing people. But like,
but he didn't do that.
I know. I know.
He didn't live by that.
I know. But more than anything, it's just shocking. It is like seeing you say it gleefully is a little. It's not that I want him to live. Don't get me wrong.
No, I know.
You
I don't think you're arguing with me.
Yeah,
I can feel that. Sort of like numb serenity when you're like, oh my, I'm losing my mind right now. I feel it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it sounds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure it doesn't sound great.
Yeah.
This is going to live forever. Too bad for me. But I do feel a little bit of like.
People probably agree with you.
I'm not going to lose any sleep when it happens.
Yeah.
There are a couple of people in the world I feel that about.
Yeah.
Who are seemingly on death's door and. Still not happening. But when it happens.
100%.
So he gets it. And Kelly is back. Again, she was the first woman that we met. She's here to remind us.
When I heard that he got the death penalty, all I could think of was if the Palm Beach County sheriffs had done their job, these two women would probably still be here.
That if the cops did their fucking job in the first place,
yes.
when he raped her,
yep.
maybe Christine and Diane would be alive. And
no
I
question
totally
they would
agree
be.
With her.
Yeah, no question
I'd
they would
be. I'd also love for them to test Kelly and Wade's DNA.
Yeah, because it was
he
never
just
tested.
Closed the case before yeah. anything came back. Like, can we get those results, please?
Well, how about this? She files a complaint against Sheriff Potter. It was found through an internal investigation that Potter didn't do his job thoroughly in investigating. His punishment? He was supposed to be suspended for 3 weeks, but was only suspended for 2.
Right.
Why, Kelly, like, file a civil lawsuit? Sue them.
I hope that this inspires something else.
Yes.
I can only hope that things like the ruse, that Dateline episode we covered where they were just lying to that guy.
Yes.
And they know he didn't do it. Things like that. Like, I need more action to be taken. If we see the pattern with these stories,
yeah.
I don't see how other people in positions of power are not.
Well, but
the numbers
also,
don't lie.
With that video being released of Potter being like, I never believed her anyway. Like, something's got to happen to this guy.
And I don't like that it was an internal investigation.
Right. That's why I'm saying sue him.
They're going to protect their own, and they did.
Sue him. Like, sue them.
The guy had a 3-week vacation.
Literally. It was reduced to 2. They needed him back for that third week.
Those good apples. One day I'll find one. So the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office declined to be interviewed about the case, obviously.
Yeah.
As of January of 2026, Detective Lewis Potter is still working for the Sheriff's Office.
Yep.
No charges have been brought against this guy in connection with any of the crimes related to Christopher Lane from the carnival. And we end with Kelly being like, you know, fuck him. I'm not a victim. I'm a survivor, which I truly believe. She refuses to stay silent. And she kind of puts a call to action out there just saying like, I'm here.
I'm not a victim. I'm a survivor. And I will always advocate for people that have gone through this and want to share their story. And if they're too afraid to, you know, they can always reach out to me and I'll help them. They shouldn't hide from this kind of stuff.
And if you need a voice or you need help, reach out to me.
I just got like, I just get chills when I just love when women. I just love when women are like this. I love when survivors in general get together, when there's like a network. It's so lonely.
I know.
And it's really, it gave me comfort just to hear that someone else would find comfort in that.
Yes.
To see someone and be like, she did it.
Yep.
I'm not alone here. It's a very lonely feeling. So Kelly, fuck yeah.
We love you, Kelly.
We love you, Kels. Can I call you Kels? It's okay if I can. Tell me if I can. Then I won't call you Kels. Okay.
Oh my God, girl, we did. Okay, worst ex ever, dating the Deadpool killer.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Fam, follow us on YouTube, over 600,000 subscribers. You want to watch, like, you heard the episode if you're listening to the audio version. Yeah. You want to see me and Jillian talk about whether or not she wants this guy beat
to death.
You want
to see my serene glee.
I mean, it's a pretty amazing thing to take a look at. Come
watch
it. I
can't even see. I haven't even seen it, so God knows.
I know. It's a True Crime Obsessed podcast on YouTube.
Yep.
Join our Patreon only if you want over 600 ad-free full bonus episodes, ad-free version of these episodes. After parties, Hero Bell stuff. It's all right there. There's links in the show notes to all of it.
Yep.
What do we do next, girl?
And now for something completely different.
Oh, God.
The curious case of the corpse who came to dinner.
Yeah. I love the curious case.
This is wild. It is crazy. Lots of intense, insane characters. Beth Karras, of course.
Of course. I mean, our dear Beth Karras.
So we just needed a little bit of
yeah.
a little bit of a shift from this whole vibe.
All right.
So that's on HBO Max and Discovery Plus.
All right, fam. Stay tuned for the trailer for that. And we love you.
Love you guys. Stay safe, please.
Bye.
Bye.
Some of the people in Wyalusing would prefer not to talk about Gene Stevens. Those neighbors knew nobody ever came for it.
People didn't call the police. They would handle things on their own.
There was always local rumors around. People would say, Gene's going to the graveyard.
We had rumblings that an old lady was digging up bodies.
My brother Cecil, he's seen her digging again.
What is going on here, and why are you losing?
Everybody has dark secrets.